This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Jeff Sandhu.
And we are here today to spark joy in your lives.
Oh.
You've probably heard that statement and that those few words over and over and over again over the last few days, of course. Marie Kondo and her KonMari method, cleaning up people's houses all over the world, and in doing so, helping them to sort out their lives. I was a bit of a skeptic until I started watching the TV show, and now, of course, I'm a bit of a convert.
KonMari-vert.
And I've said that live on air, meaning I've now put myself into a hole, haven't I? Now, the reason we're telling you this is because our question for today kind of refers to this as well. We're talking about, according to some people, disorderly doesn't necessarily mean disorganized. And some people with messy desks say that they spend less time looking for documents than people with neat desks. So our question today is, do you agree with that statement? And is it messy desk or a neat desk? You let us know. Get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. On Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We've already got a bunch of replies already. Keep them coming throughout the show. I know Jeff's very interested to talk about this going forward. Then we have a story about an airline that is starting up in Colombia that is potentially asking you to fly stud up.
Yep, all the way.
We'll just let you stew on that for a few minutes. And then story number three, I want to have a little bit of a chat about Elon Musk's Neuralink. You may or may not have heard about that. More details coming up a little bit later on. And then we'll be wrapping up today with the most Google tech questions in via US states, because some of these are quite funny. Anyway, let's get tidying up then with Jeff.
Yeah, well, we all love Marie Kondo. I mean, I'm like you, Rich. I was a bit of a skeptic when I saw, you know, Netflix was promoting the whole show, and I'm going like, really, why would I want to watch a series of someone cleaning up people's room? I mean, I like my room to be neat and tidy. I do spring cleaning every, you know, once a year and so on, but like to watch that as a
right
as a series, it's a little bit tricky, right? But and then it comes, I was online and I was reading this article on New Scientist, and there was an article that just talked, why is tidying up so hard? Like, you know, why is getting your home Instagram ready just so difficult?
That's more
right?
Like it,
yeah,
right now.
Because
right?
If you look at it, right, that's what it is, right? You want to take photos of the room and stuff, and you go like, ooh, that's really nice. So neatness kind of implies organization and discipline, which, you know, it in a way it works, because today, as rising housing costs and the appeal of urban living leave more people stuffed together in smaller apartments, and a certain level of tidiness can be essential. So our social media sharing as well also demands that kind of, you know, cleanliness, and it's that Instagram worthy. But why are so many of us obsessed with the idea of tidiness? So research shows very little light on the question, sheds very little light on the question, because virtually all studies of neatness and organization starts by defining mess as dysfunctional, which I personally don't quite agree. And there's little evidence that anyone worried much about tidiness before the 1950s. That kind of suggests that we have a little innate drive towards neatness. Perhaps maybe our modern admiration of the super neat rooms and places and desks kind of took root in this unrealistic sanitized homes of Fox families in sitcoms and advertisements.
Good point.
Yeah, so like, you know, just look at all the shows back in the 70s and the 80s, right? They all had this kind of setup that we all want to emulate. And then Friends, of course, in the, you know, really popular series in the 90s, you know, everyone just wanted to have that kind of a, you know, apartment style in New York. So, you know, it was the post-war boom that enabled more people to accumulate more stuff than ever. So now we either throw ourselves into the task of straightening up, or we feel guilty when we don't. But the benefit of tidiness, you know, it may be a bit obvious, and it gets a lot of good PR as well. You get a lot of likes on Instagram and all that. But we don't actually hear much about the cost of cleanliness and tidiness.
Yeah,
so I did a bit of research. So Marie Kondo used to have a waiting list if you wanted to get her services to come into your house and do this Con Marie style of cleaning. Now, she's not available anymore, but she does have her Con Marie specialists that, you know, can come in and help you. Now, these professional services, they cost from an upwards of $100 per hour. And you know, it goes on with, like, you know, an extra $50 for transportation, and there are different states, and this is all in the US. I tried Googling for any consultants here in Malaysia who do this kind of like Con Marie tidying up in rooms, and I haven't found any online. If there are any, just get in touch with us and let us know how much do you normally charge and stuff.
We would be very keen to talk to you.
Very keen to talk to you guys. And also, you know, neatness requires often a considerable amount of investment of resources, time, thought, physical effort, and also, of course, money, shelvings and boxes, and then of course paying these people if you want professional guidance. And tidying up is a mess, is a real work. It's even more so when you have to constantly do it time and time again. Doing it once, it's fine, but then, you know, 3 months down the road, what happens to your desk or to your room, right? Now, people with messy desk, they apparently, most of us, spend less time looking for documents than people with neat desk. And this is an argument that's also justified by the writer in New Scientist. She said that, you know, we went up to ask a few people and they all said the same thing. And that makes sense because the most recent and often used document tends to be at the top of the pile instead of being hidden away in some complex, half-forgotten filing scheme, which I guess is kind of true. When you are doing this, you know, tidying up or this Con Marie style, you got to have like some labels, and then you just kind of think it on the spot. Like, all right, so I'm going to label them based on alphabetical order or based off importance and stuff. But that formula is not something that you've actually thought through. And maybe you will just forget down the road. And then 3 months, 4 months, you want something, you go like, ooh, what did I label this at? Because it's kind of like both in between here, right? So, you know, clothes works the same way as well. The most often used clothes generally tend to be on top of the pile instead of the ones at the bottom. And my cupboard is exactly like that. When I go for trips, long trips, and I come back, I realize that, like, you know, half of my pile is now in the laundry. And I was like, wow, I actually have this. And this is really old. This is like a few years old. And then I give it away to charity and stuff, right? And disorderly doesn't actually mean disorganized. So I'm sure a lot of people would agree, like, you know, argue with this and agree with this. But it, I guess it's finding that balance of a disorganized mess or an organized mess. Yeah, that's how it should be, right?
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I'll go first.
I don't know. I think organized does mean having a tidy desk and means also oddly. I think oddly is organized is oddly. And I think messy desks mean that either, one, there can be no time. Maybe you don't have time to tidy up your desks and stuff. Maybe you have a lot of work every day. That's fine. But I also think that when you have too many things on your desk or in your workspace, it stresses you out. I'm just projecting myself at the moment. You know, it's if there's too many things around me, I don't know where to look, and too many things take away my attention from what I'm supposed to be doing. But if it's clean, then I can focus on my laptop or my book or whatever it is I'm doing at the moment.
Right. So you guys will know, sitting close to me, that in the previous office, I accumulated a pile of papers. And the reason that is, every time we do a show, I'm very old-fashioned in that I print out the stuff that I want to talk about, and I have a copy of that with me. And I always used to save, you know, that story. So at some point, this was my thinking then, I could refer back to a story that we talked about previously, and I can call it up, and it seemed to work for the longest time. I am, by my very nature, a hoarder, and I hate to admit that, but it's a fact. And as much as I don't want to evangelize what this woman is doing, watching her show and reading the articles that she's written has really made me rethink the way in which I organize my house and my life and whatever. And she's just said something that really clicked with me. And she said, you know, you learn all of these things. You learn how to ride a bike. You learn how to use your banking system. You learn how to do this. But you don't learn how to organize your home. You don't learn how to organize your clothes. You just do it as you grow up and you just kind of learn from your parents. You know, and that kind of really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And then the other day when I was walking through my house and I'm like, I need something. I know roughly where it is. It's somewhere under the stairs in a box. And I'm like, if only I knew exactly where it was and I could go to it, I would save myself so much stress. instead of having to dig through boxes and pull things out, and it'd be like a 20-minute epic Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade kind of mission, you know?
But you got to spend time in thinking of the way you're going to structure your cleanliness and your tidiness,
and
right?
That's what her whole thing is about. Changing your entire life.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So like one of the things that, you know, you started off the show talking about, you know, does this spark joy into your life or something like that? So that's like her theme that she goes on. Like, does this actually bring happiness to you? Do you look at it and does it bring a smile onto you? If it does, then you keep it. If not, throw it away. Right. But interestingly, though, the University of Minnesota, they published a psychological science on the tidy desk versus messy desk, sort of like a research. The research kind of goes through quite a lot of things, but what interests me here is that messiness might have its virtues, because in one experiment they did, participants were asked to come up with new uses for ping pong balls. And these are participants in the messy room and in the neat room. So in the messy room, they generated the same number of ideas for new uses as their clean room counterparts. But their ideas for the participants in the messy room was actually rated more interesting and creative when evaluated by impartial judges. The researchers also found that when participants were given a choice between a new product or an established one, those in the messy room were more likely to prefer the new product. It's a sign that being disorderly in a disorderly environment stimulates a release of conventionality, whereas participants in a tidy room, they just kind of preferred the established product over the new product.
I'd refute that. I would say that the people in the messy room just want more things.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean that the new guys don't want new things. They just want the same old stuff.
Right.
Now, the final argument here, not the nail in the coffin, because I don't think there's a right way or wrong way. Whatever rocks your boat, it's fine, right? As long as you get the job done.
Right.
But the one final argument I have here is that Albert Einstein, Mark Twain, and Mark Zuckerberg, they all had messy desk. Einstein desk, if you just Google it up, I know Vun Vun sent in a WhatsApp message of a photo of Albert Einstein sitting on his desk, and he actually said this quote, "If a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, of what then is a sign of an empty desk?"
Is that one of those internet quotes or real quotes?
It's a real quote. It's a real quote. It's a real quote.
All right. So we've had, we've had feedback on this already. Do you want to address a couple of these messages that we've already got in? In fact, this first tweet here from Samuel Tan.
Yeah. Samuel says, not true. Neat is neat. Messy is messy. However, neat and mess relate to personality. Hard to change, in my opinion.
That's it then. So the idea is that if you're a messy person, you're always going to be a messy person. And if you're a neat person, you're always going to be a neat person.
That's weird, though. So does that tell me I have, like, split personality? Because
yes,
my room is neat and tidy, but then my desk is kind of getting a bit too messy.
And this is what I'm struggling with right now, because I am inherently, like I say, this hoarder person who puts stuff everywhere, but my brain is telling me it's time to change, Richard.
Time
Does that spark
break?
Joy?
Right. I know what doesn't spark joy.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get in touch with the show, yeah, we're going to go for a break. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us via WhatsApp. If you want to get us on Twitter, we're at BFM Radio, also on Instagram. Short break with some music coming up from The Last Shadow Puppets, The Age of the Understatement. When we get back, we'll be talking about an airline that is asking you to get on board without any seats. Yeah, really. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.